Is up, guys. Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 351, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and helps the podcast keep on trucking every week. And with me, of course, is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just had a little overnight work trip type of thing. Did a little driving back. A little power nap before this. Good to go.
So. Your video is choppy.
Uh-oh.
On my end.
Okay.
But I don't know if it is on anybody else's.
We'll have to check with chat. Yeah,
see. Yeah, and talking about the chat, the entire internet went down today. Literally everything.
I was driving, so I didn't hear anything about it. So.
Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Pokemon Go. Everything was down today. But I guess YouTube is working. I wasn't sure if YouTube was going to work because obviously we stream direct to YouTube and Old Man is in the chat. He said your video was... You're kind of jumping around. Remember you were having some issues the other day with your internet? Ryan's, he's got to get on that fiber. Do they offer fiber in your area?
Some areas around me, yes. Because one of my buddies has AT&T fiber, but not in my neighborhood per se. So
that was
I'm taking a look.
I moved to San Diego, that was one of my favorite things, was just getting fiber and you do notice a difference in a lot of things you do, and a very, very good stable connection. And if you don't remember, Ryan, I don't know if you were around, but you were doing stuff with Think Computers at the time, but I had the lowest tier internet, the lowest tier cable internet for ever. I was maybe six up, 20 down or something for ever. And knowing what I do, you would think I would have faster internet, but I had crappy internet for a long time. And then when I moved, right before I moved here, I got faster cable, which was, I think, 800 or 600 or something. It was decently fast. And then I finally went to fiber. So,
Yeah, well, let me know if it keeps doing it. I've taken a look at things. I'm not seeing anything crazy, but let me know.
Yeah, you're definitely jumping around. But your audio should be good. So as long as you're not, we're not showing anything, I don't think, unless you're showing the your flash drive that you reviewed this week. We should be decently okay. So we'll just keep an eye on that. And if Ryan drops out or has any other issues, we'll work through it because that's what we do. We've had a lot worse things happen on this podcast, I feel. Things completely dropping out. Us thinking that we're not live and then we were live, and then YouTube telling us we're not live.
And we've podcast going for 36 hours because StreamYard won't kill it.
So we've had a multitude of different issues, but anyways, guys, welcome to our podcast, of course, where we talk about tech news, we talk about reviews. We're on the review train, I feel. Three reviews this week, which is a lot, and a lot more stuff coming. So if you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that is right here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And if you're listening, obviously, to the audio later, you can just check it out in the podcast section right up here on the website. So you can, click through and get more information about everything that we're talking about this week. And I will start. I reviewed a case, and it's been a minute since I reviewed a case. And I really, really like this one because it's affordable. And I think it gives you pretty much it gives you a lot for being decently affordable. So talking about being affordable, this case is $109.99. And I believe the white version's $109, but I think I saw the black version for $85 on Amazon, which let me go to the end here and we'll see if the black version's still on sale. Because it was on sale. I don't know. Now it's even lower, $105.59. So you're saving a couple of bucks. But the black version, let's see. The black version is $90.96. So decently affordable case, right here. So this is the HG700TG from Thermaltake. And it's a pretty kind of standard white case, tempered glass side panel. But it has some features that I was kind of impressed with from Thermaltake, because typically my big fault with Thermaltake is that their internal design, it just always seems like it's dated, right? It seems like it's, I don't know, just behind a little bit. So they've kind of fixed a lot of that stuff. So talking about the outside, pretty sleek design here. Again, we have the white version of the case, full tempered glass side panel, which is really, really nice. And right here on the front, you have this little ventilated section, but this is actually will light up with RGB lighting, which I will talk about, which I actually really like about this case too. In the front, you do get one fan. So you have one intake and one exhaust fan on this. Not a ton of fans that come with this, but again, based on its price, it's not that horrible. The front of the case will support up to a 360 millimeter radiator in the top. You can see the top here that just has a vent on it. It will also support up to a 360. So you could do two 360s in this if you really wanted to. The thing I really like about it is, of course, that side panel. It's going to show off everything inside the case. And then it has this little like metal handle, little latch thing on it. And it opens up sort of like a door. And what's really great about this design is that you have the sort of little latches right here. And what this allows the panel to do is just pull right off, right? So it opens like a door. And it just pulls right off. Super, super simple. And the opposite side panel is very much the same, except for it doesn't have the metal. It has this little piece of fabric that opens the same exact way, has the same hinges on it, so you could easily pull it off. So definitely like super easy to get inside this case. You can see how the back side panel opens up. Very, very easy. Really, really like that about this case. Now, internally, one of the biggest things here is that it does support up to extended ATX motherboards. So being a mid-tower, there's not a ton of mid-towers out there that support extended ATX. Extended ATX will fit in this. It will go past your cable routing holes. So it'll go right up against these storage slots. So definitely keep that in mind, but it's definitely possible in this case. You do get an integrated GPU stabilizer or holder here. This is going to be really good for those big graphics cards, those RTX 4090s. This will be perfect, and you can move it back and forth and up and down to fit whatever card that you are using. Here's a better shot of it right here. You can see it's just on thumb screws, so you can move it around and put it, you know, kind of where you like it. That front part of the case, you do have these storage trays. These storage trays will fit either a 3.5-inch or 2.5-inch drive. And as you can see, they're sort of like in this bank of storage. So you can easily move them up and down. You can also buy more. So you only get two of these out of the box right here. You can add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can add 5 more. So that's 7 in the front. If you really wanted to load this thing out with hard drives, you could definitely buy more. I'm not sure on the pricing of these, of the trays, but you can, again, add more if you wanted to go ahead and do that. Lots of cable routing. You can see like all the cable routing holes here. There's some with the inserts here. It does have the full cover power supply or full-length power supply cover. It is cut out in the front if you did want to install a radiator. It has that there. And then it has, either you hate it or you love it, it has the window for your power supply. I know Ryan's not the biggest fan.
I'm in the hated crowd, but that's all right.
Yeah, it has that as well. The backside, you do get two SSD mounts back here. They're on thumb screws. Just take them out, install your SSD, put it back in. And then you do get another cage down here that has a single tray. And that single tray can, of course, support 2.5-inch or 3.5-inch drive. So in total, 5 hard drives out of the box, which is, again, it's a lot of storage space. Yeah. Most cases are typically 4. So you're getting one extra hard drive with the ability to add up to, again, 5 more here. And then this bottom tray you can take out. It is on thumb screws. You can move it over. Or you can completely remove it if you're not using it, which is really nice to see there. The only downside to this this cage, the cage itself is metal, but the tray is plastic. I
wish it was compatible with the other slots, right? Like if you could move it between and actually get 3 in the main compartment, uh-huh. Or kind of switch them around, that would be cool. But yeah, those plastic trays are always just kind of like, eh. But again, that price point kind of
Yeah.
You gotta cut some corners on stuff like
yeah. that. Yeah. Installation, incredibly easy. You have a ton of room. Again, this is an ATX motherboard, so you can see an extended ATX would go all the way over. So again, just keep that in mind. Everything went in, no issues. As you can see, super clean build, right?
Yeah, looks good.
Super clean, no issues. I didn't even take hard drive trays out. I wasn't using them, but again, you can see that the fan, the exhaust fan over here. Of course, that window allows us to show off our power supply. And it did good in our testing as well. Before we get into the testing, so the RGB lighting. So this section right here is a RGB strip. And what's really cool about it is that on the top of the case, there's a button that allows you to cycle through different settings. There's about like 8 or 9 different settings. And then you can do solid colors as well, 7 different solid colors that you can cycle through. Or you can pass it through to your motherboard. So you can control it with your motherboard if you wanted to. So you can see that's it. By default, it's going to be this rainbow. And then you can, you know, there's different colors, different effects. You can kind of do all that kind of stuff. It's kind of nice because a lot of these cases, especially in this price point, you really don't like, you're not going to get RGB fans. They're, you know, so this gives you a little bit of that RGB element without, again, increasing that much of the cost of it, which is pretty cool as well.
Does it light up some of the interior as well? One of those
not
pictures
a,
up above?
Not a whole lot.
Just a little at the front, though.
Yeah, right? A little, but not a ton.
It's kind of neat. Yeah. I guess if you got fans there, it's probably going to block out a lot of that light.
So. Yeah, if you added more fans, it's going to block out that light for sure. So if you did really want to light up the inside of the case, RGB strips or swap out the fans for RGB fans. But I like this case. And again, you can see our testing, it did pretty well, not only in temperatures, but also in noise levels. And I gave it a 9 out of 10. I mean, it's 105. When I reviewed it, it was 109, but it's 105 now, which I think is a great price for what you're getting. Easy to build in, lots of room to expand. Fits, again, 5 hard drives out of the box. And again, that doesn't obviously count M.2 drives that you can put on your motherboard as well. So lots of cool stuff there. I really like it. Like I said, gave it a 9 out of 10. So go ahead and check that out. We have a ton of people in the chat.
You gotta catch up.
I know. Old man's in the chat. You are still your video is still cutting in and out for some reason.
Yeah. StreamYard's giving me the little icon saying my connection is unstable. So maybe I should hop out of the stream real quick and hop back in.
Yeah, why don't you hop out? I'll say hi to everybody in the stream and you hop out and jump back in. We'll do that. Maybe that's it. Well, Ryan leaves. I will say hi to Corey. Corey's in the chat. Good to see you, man. Hopefully it's not too cold back home in Pittsburgh. And then old man in the chat also said, be quiet in Fantex, make cases similar. Hard drive slots very good if you're using mechanical hard drives. Yeah, I think, like I said, this case, for its price, you know, again, you get 5 hard drives out of the box, but then you have the ability to add 5 more, which I think is really good. Ryan is back, and he's still not doing great.
Who knows? Maybe it's some residuals from today.
Maybe it has something to do with all the internet being gone everywhere. But we'll work with it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then Corey in the chat also said he got the Fractal Design Pop Air and he really likes it. And that's a great case. We reviewed that a while back. So glad you got that and glad that it is it's working out for you. So Ryan, you are up if you want to share your screen.
Sure.
For your review, unless you have it with you.
Yeah, I've got it with me as well. But, there.
There it is. There's so what is that? Tell us.
Yeah, so this is the, let me share my screen, but this is the Kingston Iron Key KeyPass or keypad, 200. So it's a encrypted USB flash drive that has a keypad in order to gain access to the drive itself. So let's get this shared real quick here.
Every time your screen freezes, your face, your facial expression.
I have a really awesome face, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I like want to screenshot it.
Screenshot it all.
But tell us about this flash drive.
Yeah, so Kingston has their, you know, their Iron Key line of drives, and I actually have another one here that's very similar that I'll be working on finishing up here pretty soon. So they have their line of Iron Key drives, which is kind of their more secure storage. in the USB format, right? They've got all sorts of variations of these drives. This one comes in sizes from 8 to 128 gigabytes. We took a look at the 128 gigabyte drive. And, you know, this is just a your standard USB-A connected flash drive, except it's got AES 256-bit encryption that keeps your data secure, right? When the drive is locked, you plug it in, you don't have access to the data. As soon as you unlock it, you gain access to those files, which are encrypted. And it has all the, you know, the protections you would think of when you, you know, think of protected storage, right? It's got a lockout. So if you enter in the pass or the PIN wrong on the user setting, like 10 times, which is the default setting, you know, it can, you know, lock you out. And then if you've set up the admin PIN on it, which is another nice feature of the drive, you can unlock that user PIN so that you can continue to use it. But if you, let's say, lock out that admin account, it's going to crypto wipe the drive and reset it, right? So you lose the data that's on there, but you don't lose access to utilizing the drive. So if you still have, you know, you've just forgotten what that PIN is and you're like, all right, here's my last chance at getting this data back, you know, and you end up wiping it, well, you've still got the drive. But if it gets in somebody else's hands, right, you lose it, gets stolen, whatever the case may be, and they enter it in wrong, well, you know that the drive's been wiped. Now they've got a free, you know, 128 gig encrypted drive, but it doesn't have your data on it, which is really nice. Now, it does have some pending certification. It has the FIPS 140-3 standard, which is pending, and that's from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They're the ones that kind of create all of the standards for, like, what are the requirements for a drive to have the certification. So they're working on that. It also has, you know, some software protections against, like we just talked about, brute force attacks and the bad USB vulnerability as well.
Nice.
Another cool thing is, you know, let's say you wanted to maybe try and get to the data on here and bypass the PIN. You know, let's say you've got it opened up, the board and the chips itself are covered in an epoxy that protects them. So, like, very cool. If you're trying to, like, take a chip off or, you know, access it that way, now you're just going to ruin it. And so you're protected that way as well, which is really nice. What else here? OS and device agnostic, right? So this is just going to work without software, which is a really cool feature, right? You're not required to utilize any software on the host machine in order to access the files on here, right? All of that's taken care of via the hardware on the drive itself. And the way they can do that is there's actually a small battery inside here that, like, runs the keypad and takes care of the unlocking and locking features, things like that. So it's a really cool drive. I've kind of covered most of the items. You know, it's got this 10 button pen pad here on the front with a couple indicator lights, right, regarding whether you've got it locked or unlocked, what the status is, and then, like, a drive indicator light. So all the standard things you would typically see on a normal drive, plus some extra features. So, like, if I pull this out here and let's just make me the large.
Yeah. I can make it big.
Yeah, that'll work. So if I hold this up here, let's get it to focus on it instead of me. So if I, like, hit a button, so it's, like, gonna flash red there on the locked icon indicating, yep, the drive is locked. But if I were to enter in my PIN,
oh, we all know your PIN now.
Oh man, I'm hosed. Now it should start switching over. Yeah, now it's green.
Gotcha.
Right, and so it's going to stay unlocked like that. Default is for 30 seconds. So if I wait long enough and don't plug this into a drive, it's going to relock itself.
Now, when
it's another nice feature,
when it's plugged in and not being accessed, does it relock? Yes.
Okay, you can set that setting as well. So let's. Oh, you got it. Yes. So there's a feature for that, right? So let's say you've unlocked it, you plugged it in, and you're accessing it, and then you walk away from your computer. By default, it is set to not relock, but that is a change that you can make using that admin login. Now, there's all sorts of items you can change. You can change the lockout requirements, all sorts of settings on there. Another nice thing is this is IP57 rated. So, you know, dust protected against dust and water. And so they've done a couple things with, you know, again, that epoxy is going to help out with that. The sleeve that protects it has, like, a little rubber
Is it a metal sleeve?
Yeah, it's metal.
Uh-huh. Nice, nice.
Yep, and metal body on the drive as well.
Very cool.
And then it's got a really cool braided steel
keychain
loop.
Doesn't come off your keychain.
Doesn't come off. The little black piece kind of unscrews semi-easily. So that's one little piece that's... I say semi-easily. It's on there. Well, it's just a...
Yeah.
Nice. And then one thing I wanted to point out was Kingston makes a really nice video or two videos, which I linked in the article, and I don't know why they're pulling up aspect ratio. Weird. But they go through all the process of setting it up, and I've included those setup steps as well in the article for like setting up that initial pin, unlocking the device, and then just some information about the admin pin as well. There's a whole user manual that Kingston has to do some of those more advanced feature changes, because again, there's no software with this drive, so you can't make those changes that way. You have to make them all through button presses and reading the LED codes. So it's a little difficult. You'll definitely want to use that user manual when you are making those manual adjustments, because the drive doesn't come with a user manual. On the back of the packaging, which actually I still have right here, it has like, here's how to set a pin on the drive, and that's it. If you need more, here's the URL to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So they get you up and running. Another nice thing about this drive is it actually beats the performance numbers that they have advertised on the drive, which that's always like a really nice thing to come across, as you're like, oh, this did better than it was supposed to. So yeah, the advertised speeds are, let's see here. Read speeds are up to 145 megabytes a second, and write were 115. I actually saw 171 read and 148 write.
Nice.
Which is a decent amount over the advertised performance specs, which is nice. So I was really happy to see that type of performance, especially since it's, you know, got all the extra overhead as well on the drive for the security pieces. So again, I gave it a 9 out of 10. As well, you know, you gave that to your previous review. $207 over at Amazon.
That's for the 128, right?
That is for, yes, exactly. That's for the 128 gig drive, right? So there is definitely a price premium on it. So if you need that secure portable storage, you know you're gonna need to pay extra for it. And just the nice ability to not require software on here to unlock it and lock it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
You show up somewhere and you're like, oh, I've got these files on here. I need to give them to you. Okay, first we got to go download the software, right? That's not required here. You just got to have your pin and you can
get
right to the data.
Nice.
The only con was, again, the advanced settings. You've got to use that user manual to reference it. But, you know, I really liked it. It's got the high encryption ratings. It's got the IP57 protection rating, fast performance compared to what they were advertising. It's not like, you know, a Gen 4 drive in here that you're going to get a ton of speed out of, but it's fast enough for just your standard, like, oh, I've got to take my tax documents to my tax prep place and I don't want to, you know, risk them being in an unencrypted state. So
yeah, gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah,
I always like secure data.
Yeah,
it's if I'm doing something, I definitely want a secure drive. Just like you said, if I'm taking my file somewhere, doing something, one, you can be clumsy and forget you put the drive down or something like that. Or two, you know, and I've seen it happen to so many people, you put that laptop bag in your front seat, you come back out and there's your car's, you know, window smashed and your laptop bag's gone. And then that's a lot of sensitive data that can fall in the hands of somebody else. It's more the stealing your identity type of thing, opening bank accounts or credit cards in your name if they have that information. I mean, that there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So I think that's really good. So Calvin in the chat said, one of the techs at my job used a much bigger one, physical size, to transfer files to his new work laptop. Yeah, I mean, I think especially in a work setting, having a drive like that definitely would help there as well. So I will talk about my last review, which was the vColor Manta X Sky 32GB DDR5 6600 memory kit. And they sent us a kit a little while back. This is the second one we're reviewing from vColor. And they did something really cool with these, is they engraved our logo on them, which is pretty cool.
Nice. I think you talked about this last week. I was excited to see how that turned out. I think
yeah, that's pretty so, cool. Yeah, so we sent them the logo, and they engraved the logo on the side. Obviously, that's not something that you can get done, but this is their Manta X Sky memory if you are interested. We got the silver version, which is more or less like a chrome. You can kind of see me. There's a reflection of me taking a picture of the memory. But you can kind of see here, and the version you get will just have this X Sky logo on it. It's not going to have, obviously, I think computer's logo on it. They also like engrave the memory with the model number and the speeds and all that stuff. So I would say their heat spreader is really, really basic, right? It just has a V for V color, nothing crazy about it. Again, you can only get so crazy, but I mean, obviously we liked it because it has our logo on it, but it is kind of basic. They do offer like three other different colors as well. If you know, they have a white version, a black version, I think a gold version, and then here's the silver version. So you can kind of pick which different versions you may want. At the top, of course, we do have that diffuser, which has the Manta logo on it, and we'll show you the RGB lighting here. So like any other RGB kit, lights up, and you can kind of see pretty good diffusion. So it doesn't look like we have individual LEDs on here, which is definitely nice to see.
That's a really polished like heatsink there. Like it looks like there's a mirror in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one thing I really like about these is the finish on the heat spreader. Because again, you can see it's reflecting the buttons here on our motherboard, you know, right there, which is really cool. But yeah, so the RGB lighting works with all of your major motherboard RGB software. We used it with Asus's Aura Sync, no issues. Picked up the memory. We can change all of this stuff if you want to. Now, this is actually our fastest memory, DDR5 memory that we've tested. So 6600 megahertz, that's with timings of 34, 40, 40, 35, 40, 40, 105 at 1.4 volts. So definitely pretty high clocked memory. You want to be sure that your motherboard will support this. Now with our motherboard, we actually had to update the BIOS for it to support this memory. So definitely keep that in mind. Don't think I'm going to get the fastest stuff out there. It may not work on your board. So again, look at your board, look at the, you know, what speeds it will support if there's a new BIOS update. Because again, the worst thing you want to do is be super excited about this memory. You turn on your system and it won't boot, or you have to boot it at the default speeds, whether that's 4,800 megahertz or 5,600 megahertz. You want to run the stuff at what it's supposed to be running at. So definitely keep that in mind. Again, did great in on most of our tests here. Some of the fastest memory that we have tested. So good stuff. I really, really like it. And yeah, I mean, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, our logo looks pretty sweet on there. Yeah, pretty sweet on there for sure. I just, like I said, I think they can do a little bit more work on the heat spreader themselves as far as, again, like just like this plain V. But yeah, I mean, you can pick up this kit for $289.99 for that's, again, that's a 32 gigabyte kit, 2 16 gig DIMMs, super, super fast. So yeah, go ahead and check that review out. Yeah, 3 reviews this week, so I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so in the chat, Calvin says that V color kit should have SK Hynix A die. Yeah, so with the A die stuff, you really need a 13th gen CPU to get that high. We're running a 12th gen. I wasn't even sure if it was going to run just because we're running a 12th gen CPU. We have some faster memory. I say this is our fastest. Mm-hmm. We have some faster memory coming up that I'm not sure if it is going to run, but it's 7200 megahertz. We'll have that coming up soon. So it'll be interesting to see if that will run. I have a good board to run it. We use the what board do we use? Let me look at the review. It's an Asus board that we do use, an Extreme board. Or I think it's an Extreme board. Or is it the ROG Maxima Z690 Hero. So we're using Z690, not Z790, just because this is a Maximus board. It's a lot better for overclocking and things like that. And again, we only have we don't have a 13th gen CPU. We only have 12th gen. So we'll see if that 7200 megahertz stuff runs. We'll obviously, I'll let you know in the next couple of weeks. And then Corey in the chat said, did you check out Samsung Viewfinity S9 5K? I don't even know what those are.
Are they TVs?
Viewfinity. I'll look those up.
I don't remember seeing those. I mean, we were at Samsung and just kind of took a look at the two real, you know, widescreen
options. These are business monitor.
Oh, business class type monitors.
Yeah, DHQ. The Viewfinity S9 is a 49-inch, the same size as what's in front of me right now. Dual QHD monitor, QLED, 800R curve. So again, very similar to what I have. We mainly looked at
the gaming.
Yeah, the more gaming centric displays and things like that when we were at CES. Calvin in the chat says he has a 7800 kit that installed Z690 Maximus Hero 12900KF and turned on XMP, and it actually booted into Windows at 78. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. You know, if you have the right board, like again, like a Maximus board, how much, you know, what they can really do, especially again with a 12th gen and not 13th gen. If you are looking to get the highest clocked memory out there, remember at CES, every memory company that was showing DDR5 over 7,000
Asus board
was on the Asus Maximus. Everybody had the white one, but it was a Maximus board. Yeah. So if you are looking for that, the Maximus boards are the kind of way to go. I'm glad I have one so we can, you know, review this super high end memory. So, but we will move on from that. And this case mod for Case Mod Friday is kind of funny because I don't think we've seen at least a good case mod that was themed after a power tools company.
No, it's not like what was it, Benford Tools from Home Improvement?
Yeah,
so, you know, like I could see someone doing one like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
so, I thought this was cool.
Yeah, I really like this. So this is from Tantric Mods, and it's called DeWalt, of course, after DeWalt Power Tools. Are you what is your power tools company of choice?
I'm kind of just a Cobalt person, right? I prefer Lowe's over Home Depot. I don't know. That's kind of what's won out for me. And, I just stick with their Cobalt brand, right? Cause I know that if I ever have an issue with any of them, like I can just take it back to a Lowe's. I don't have to take it to a certain location, right? Or try and find somewhere.
Yeah,
and I don't like spending a lot on tools because it's usually I'm the person that will buy the tool, but I'm not going to buy the best one because I usually only need it for one task type of thing.
I'm a Black and Decker
person. That's what I was previously. Which Black and Decker is owned by DeWalt, or DeWalt is owned by Black and Decker.
Gotcha. But anyways, yeah. DeWalt color, and this is done in the Thermaltake Series 500. Which we saw at CES as well. So it's cool to see a build in this with those new Thermaltake fans as well. These have been out for a little bit, but they are newer Thermaltake fans. Thermaltake water cooling in here, Thermaltake memory. Everything goes together pretty well. The only thing, obviously, you can't match this RGB lighting to this yellow. You can't.
Right, and the fluid color is just a little... It's tough to get that exact yellow color.
But I really like this. And then again, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do a build about DeWalt. Like, and you think how this is going to turn out. And I really like this one.
I mean, it could almost be a Caterpillar build, right? Like, you changed the DeWalt logo with Caterpillar.
Yeah.
And now it's a tractor implement type of build.
Yeah. I think this case kind of just, in just the way they put all this, you know, everything they've done on the graphics card here and the
like GPU, the perforation.
Yeah, the support bracket here, the logo, which that's the Thermaltake little LCD screen in there.
Right.
And like these little triangles, they're actually on the coolant, tubing.
On the back plate. Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're here. Like, it's just these little things that you may notice that are in this build. So really cool one from Tantric Mods. I really, really like this. And we've seen this type of GPU cover type thing. We've seen this in a couple builds, and I'm really liking how it kind of brings, because again, the typically in a build, especially a water cooled build, like they show off the graphics card and it's all about the coolant and all that kind of stuff, where this, it's kind of about everything else around it, and I really like right. that. So pretty cool to
is there a picture see. Zoomed in more of the GPU? I don't know that there is. Oh yeah, there is. Right here, back off. This one? No, there's one more. Go back. There's okay, you can kind of see it. So like right by the memory, yeah, that black shroud right there, that's like covering up the power connections on this card, I believe, which looks awesome too, right? They've kind of hidden those power cables and connections, which I like that attention to detail there
quite a bit. Yeah, really cool stuff. So definitely check this out. Shout out to Tantric Mods for this one. Really really cool build there. And we will go to news this week, and we have some new information on the RTX 4070. So the RTX 4070 is expected to launch in April. Now, this embargo thing where everything's kind of blanked out was leaked and some other stuff. No specific word on the actual embargo date, but the hard launch for the RTX 4070 is supposed to be happening in April. And this kind of follows up along leaked stuff that we saw that mass production of the card is starting this month, which is February. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I just don't like the segmentation.
Yeah, again, and the order they're coming out in, yeah.
Yeah, it confuses the consumer, right? So I think that's the biggest thing for me with this card. Also leaked is like three different SKUs. There's two reference editions, which AIBs will use, and then there's a Founders Edition SKU that has been leaked. But the card is supposed to have 5,888 CUDA cores and 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. So again, cut down version of the RTX 4070 Ti with a lower TDP of only 200 watts. Now, will this be the card to get, or will the Ti be the card to get?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking, I was like, ooh, April, hey, birthday present. But
there you go.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll wait till they're out. We'll see what actual performance looks like.
Yeah. So again, that's all we kind of know about that. Also on the NVIDIA side, all of the reviews came out for NVIDIA's the laptops featuring NVIDIA based GPUs, specifically the RTX 4090. That's the one that we've been talking about for weeks. There are a ton of reviews out there. I implore all of you to go check out those reviews. A lot of great reviews out there. Basically, the laptop RTX 4090 is on par with an RTX 4070 Ti desktop, which I wouldn't say that's horrible.
No.
Right?
Well, and seeing what we saw at CES with those laptops running that 4090, they were doing all sorts of crazy stuff in the demos we saw, right? Whether it was a racing simulator with like three 4K screens, you know, whatever it was they were showing was very impressive. So, I think that sort of comparison there is bodes well for both, right? Like, great performance from a laptop, and then like it makes me feel good about the performance of the 4070 Ti as well.
Yeah. I think, again, and we see this all the time with like the next gen of the mobile. And again, we're not super into it as much, but I mean, you are getting a pretty significant boost in performance over the previous generation.
Yeah.
And the things that you're able to do. And we talked about this before, but like having a mobile video editing studio or something you can take with you where that you can really push the limits of what you can do with whether you're gaming, whatever you're doing, you have the ability to do that now, which I really like. So I think that, again, go check out these reviews if you're really, really interested. There are some really great models as well. We saw a lot of them at CES. Obviously, the Razer Blade, especially that big-ass Razer Blade 18, great laptop. There's the Aorus 17X, which a lot of people are talking about. There's the the Asus ROG Scar that's out as well. I mean, there's a lot of really, really great laptops this time around. And I think all the big names are having, like, you know, all of their flagship laptops are getting refreshed with RTX 40 series cards. And then again, on the, and we don't have reviews of the kind of thinner and light, but like getting, you know, RTX 40 series in a thinner and lighter package too is definitely cool. If you're looking to do maybe some 1080p gaming, you want to be able to, you know, use that integrated graphics to help render and do some other things. A lot of cool stuff in the laptop space. So, so yeah, I definitely like that. I know a lot of people too, like Calvin in the chat says RTX 4090, more like 4070 Ti. A lot of people were saying this isn't the same as the 4090. Yeah, I mean,
well, it never really has been.
Right? Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're gonna call it, you know, their current generation, because it wouldn't make sense to call it like the previous, right? But I think they're pretty upfront with their actual performance.
Yeah.
When you look into the details.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, it is, again, to the consumer, it can be confusing when you say mm-hmm. this has an RTX 4090. So then maybe first time buyer, somebody not obviously familiar, be like, oh, I'm getting the same performance as the 1600 RTX 4090. So it is confusing. And NVIDIA just keeps on getting more confusing these days, I feel, with naming and how they're releasing graphics cards and all that kind of stuff. But I think most people in the know that you're not going to get the same type. It doesn't match the desktop. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, talking about NVIDIA, if you are still playing Cyberpunk 2077, it did receive the DLSS 3 update. We did see it playing with DLSS 3 at CES. Looks beautiful. NVIDIA put out a bunch of stuff on social media, some videos of like insane DLSS 3. Obviously, if you have an RTX 40 series card, that's the only cards that will have DLSS 3. You can obviously, you know, turn that on and get some more performance if you are playing Cyber. I haven't played Cyberpunk in so long. Yeah, you never played it.
I didn't buy it. Nope.
It was a fun game. Had a lot of issues. Like, it seems like every crazy major release. And yeah. So, but it was a fun game to play. Talking about what I think Ryan would be interested in. Power Color is going to be releasing an RX 7900 XTX Liquid Devil. And pictures of the card were leaked, I guess. So this is what the card looks like. Looks pretty slick. Obviously, with the logos, you can see that the water block for this card is going to be made by EK. And again, this is going to be a card that it doesn't come with anything else. You have to put it in an existing water cooling loop. The Liquid Devil has always been, you know, this is going to be their highest end SKU, highest overclocked. And at least from like the pictures that they released, I don't know if the kit's going to come with this leak tester, but it'd be kind of cool if it did.
Yeah, that would be great if they include it with their
EK leak, the leak tester. But pictures were, like I said, and we can see this picture of the back of the card.
RX 580 Red Devil edition from Powercool that was a great card.
Yeah.
These are usually like their overclocked versions a lot of times of these cards.
Yeah. So really nice. Highest overclocked, you know, because again, you're getting the water cooling to keep it nice and cool. So real cool stuff. No word on pricing on that, but cool stuff. We saw, it's the first time I haven't really researched this because again, this is only in China, but obviously if you follow politics at all, you know, the CHIPS Act, which basically the United States is moving chip manufacturing to the United States. It's a slow process, but that's kind of where things are going. So there is a Chinese-only graphics card company called Morse Threads. We've talked about them a couple times, but they do have a graphics card, the MTT S80, which really isn't made for gaming, even though it does have an RGB or at least a red fan in here. That's what the card looks like. So it's kind of cool to see the card.
No, it's just running really hot.
Yeah, So this is the card. It was kind of cool to see the card because again, we won't, unless you find some way to import one of these, which would definitely raise some flags, I feel.
Yeah, probably.
If you try to do that anyways. But that's what the card, you know, looks like. But somebody got it to run Crisis. This guy on Twitter got it to run Crisis. You can kind of see that. But it was kind of cool to see the card, right? See, you know, because again, this is what's kind of happening with everything is they're moving a lot of the chip manufacturing out of these countries. Mm-hmm. So these countries need to make their own. We've seen that on the CPU side as well. I forget the name of the company, the Chinese company that's doing the CPUs.
Yeah, I think we had a news article about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so cool to see.
It definitely looks like an OEM style cooling AMD solution though, right? Like yeah, AMD specifically.
Yeah, it almost looks like an AMD style card, but yeah, cool to see. Cool to see, you know, obviously different tech, and this thing isn't great. If you look at the results, it's below the about half the performance, sometimes lower than that of the Intel Arc A770. So again, this card really isn't made for gaming, as they said, but mm-hmm. something cool to check out if you want to check that out. And what else do we have? So also talking about Intel Arc, they did drop the price of the A750. So the A750 has been dropped down to $249, which is $30 off. But I mean, that when you're talking in that price range, that's decent amount. And they've released, it seems like with every new driver release from Intel, the performance of these cards just keep on getting better.
That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, and you can kind of see the, you know, performance. They put out all these graphs, and we've seen a bunch of people test this as well. It is good to see this stuff, but it's like, why was this not done at launch?
Like, you know? Yeah. I don't know, but it does feel good to, like you said, see these improvements. It makes me feel good that, hey, maybe Intel is going to stick around for more than like one or two generations of discrete GPU, so which is always great. Like we've always said this, you know, whether it's CPUs, GPUs, whatever the, you know, sector is, more competition is great for the consumer. So I like seeing this.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I like it. Price drops are always good. Competition in the market is always good. So if you are interested in picking up something in this class, $250.
$250 is a great price for a GPU, right?
Yeah.
For someone that just needs that better than integrated graphics because they want to, you know, play whatever game was especially listed in those graphs, right? CSGO, League, things like that.
Yeah, so on the Gen 5 NVMe SSD side of things, we've been talking about these for forever, for the past 4 or 5 months. We talked about the CFD Gaming NVMe SSD Gen 5, obviously, that was available, I believe, in Japan. Somebody bought one, put it in, and tested it, obviously, and you can see the 10,000 read, 10,000 write, which I love to see, right? But they made a video of how loud that little fan is, and I'm obviously not gonna play it, but it's loud. It's and really you kind of expected that. I mean, if you look at this little fan, right?
It's mostly hub, right? With these tiny little fins, so it's got to spin so fast to move.
Yeah, it's got to spin super, super fast, and you know it's going to be loud. And like I said, it'd be pretty interesting to see we saw the one from, like, all of the first generation Phison-based drives are going to look exactly like this, because this is the reference design from Phison. Everybody is releasing first this reference design for the most part. The only people that isn't is Gigabytes with their Aorus 10,000 has a massive heat sink. It's like, it's thick.
It sticks way up. Yeah,
sticks way up. So for those who want the low profile, you're going to be stuck with these small fans, and it is going to be loud. If you want to hear what it sounds like, we have the Twitter video from Momomo US, who is always doing good stuff, always tons of leaks from him. So if you want to hear it, it is here in the article if you want to check it out, but it's loud. It brings you back to those days, you know, when your graphics card used to spin up like real crazy. Yep. Which is definitely not something I'm looking forward to, but yeah. Also, Ryan and I both saw this, and we both were like, "I want this." Razer unveiled their Viper Mini Signature Edition Magnesium Alloy Gaming Mouse, and I mean, this thing looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So this is their lightweight gaming mouse. It's made of all magnesium alloy. And you can see the kind of pictures there. It just looks so awesome. Obviously, all cut out to me. It's only 49 grams, which is just crazy, crazy light. Yeah. I mean, it comes in this cool box.
It's going to get so dusty in there. Not that, like, my Pulsefire doesn't, but the cutouts on this thing are so big. Like, yeah. Well, it's not only going to get dust, but it has the potential to get, like, larger things in
stuck
there.
In there, right? Yeah. That is the, yeah.
But you know what? Like, I think it'll probably be worth it. And I'm guessing it's probably pretty comfortable, right? Everybody, I think, at first, when they saw these lightweight mice with the cutouts in them, were like, oh, doesn't that feel weird to your hand? No, it doesn't. And I'm sure that this has been tested enough that they're confident in the comfort and everything. Also comes with a really nice unboxing, it looks like. I mean, that is some premium packaging and
premium packaging
accessories.
And it comes with the grips. You get grips for both the side and the top if you want to use it. I don't know what these are. Replacements for the mouse pads on the bottom. It's really, really high end. I think it's super.
It's really
cool.
Expensive too.
How much is it?
I think it was like $250 or something. I'm trying to remember.
Notify me. No price, but yeah, it's definitely going to be expensive.
I saw the price somewhere, but it was going to be expensive.
Yeah, here's some better photos you guys can kind of see. But yeah, I mean, I think it's super, super cool, and I really like that we're seeing a lot of these kind of special edition, high end stuff kind of coming back. Right, I think the past couple years, companies were like very much playing it safe, and now we're getting a lot of special editions. Like, and again, we talked about like OnePlus making a keyboard. We're seeing a lot of the really cool stuff come out.
$280.
Yeah, that's expensive for a mouse. Oh, yeah. I know, you can spend like $500 on some mice, but yeah, I mean, 49 grams too. I mean, that is extremely, extremely light.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's light even for a wired lightweight mouse. This is a wireless mouse with a battery in it.
Wonder if I can't tell, and I haven't really looked into it, but I wonder if the box charges the mouse.
Why would they do that?
Actually, no, it probably doesn't.
I mean, it's got a cable there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in any case, very cool. Yeah, maybe we're trying to get one to review, but they said it's very limited. So yeah. Probably won't be getting that. And then our friends over at Mod My Mods, they have come out with some mod paste, all made in the USA too.
Nice.
So it's their MP9 mod paste thermal compound. You can pick it up. The smaller syringe, 1 gram, is $7.50. And the larger syringe is 2.5 grams, is $11.99. Oil based, 3-year shelf life. Again, made in the USA. Again, you can just go over to their website and pick it up if you want to pick it up.
I like that it has the like smaller precision,
like a
precision applicator that goes on the front. Yeah,
yeah, right there.
That's nice.
Yeah,
it
is always good when you and people don't think that there is a difference between like cheap, you know, like the white stuff that you would get all the time with a lot of crappy one. It's not great, because in the past we've tested like some of the nicer thermal paste compared to like that white crap that you would get. And that white crap is like, it's crap. I mean, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. And it comes in like that little bag.
Like you would get like thermal paste in a little like pouch, right? Like, and you're like squeezing it out. It was a terrible experience.
It went everywhere, wasn't great. So good to see this stuff. Good to see this stuff from My Mods. And again, they are based in the United States. So that, you know, it's a good thing to pick some of the stuff up. So again, we have it linked in the article where you can pick it up, or you just go to Mod My Mods website, and I'm sure you can find it on there. So So that is our news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a headset, which I actually have on. See how it looks kind of nice.
Does look nice. Yeah.
So this is a wireless headset from Heights. This is their Eclipse HG10. Wireless, $100. Plug and play. You just plug it in. It's super, super easy to use. Has some interesting features, which I'll talk about in the review. But I like it. I think, like I said,
they're comfy.
Yeah. Real leather, too. Real leather.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, all real right. leather on there. And for $100. So it's not that bad. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. And then I'll be taking a look at some, of course, super fast storage.
I was going to say, it's got to be super fast storage or an external, like.
Yeah. So this is Kingston's Fury Renegade, which is a PCI Express 4.0 NVMe SSD. We have the one that came with the heatsink on it, which definitely looks pretty nice. Do they have the? I know it's like, yes, 7,300 megabytes a second read, 7,000 megabytes a second write. So super fast drive. It comes up to 4 terabytes. We have the 2 terabyte. So I'll be telling you guys about that next week as well. And as we come to the end here, you had something you wanted to talk about. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I was out of town for a work trip and decided to like shoot some video with my phone. Got back to my hotel room and I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can edit this video on my little 13-inch laptop, right? But I didn't have... I usually edit my videos in HitFilm Express. And I didn't feel like downloading that. And then when you do download that, you've got to log into it, which kills your connection or your license at the other machine. I've run into that before. And I was like, I don't want to deal with that later on. Let me see what's out there. And I was like, oh, I think Microsoft still has Movie Maker or whatever.
No, right? You did not.
I was like, all right, let me use Movie Maker. But when I opened that up, it had like an ad for Clipchamp. And I had never heard of this. And so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen real quick here. Yeah, there we go. Share. So Clipchamp is like their new video editing tool. And I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And yeah, I edited this whole video on a like low power, like 7th or 8th gen, you know, CPU, integrated graphics. It does have NVMe storage and 16 gigs of RAM. So it's not like a horrible laptop, but I mean, I did all the editing on a touchpad, no mouse, right? Like just sitting in my hotel bed. I had the office was up on the TV and I was just sitting there like editing, and it worked great, you know. They're saying try for free. I didn't have to buy anything. Like I ran it for free. I didn't utilize like the cloud options that they have, and some of the like transitions and options that they have are paid features, but I did everything with the free software with no issues. It's very intuitive. You know, it doesn't have some of the real crazy editing options that you're going to get in a Premiere or like HitFilm that I use, things like that. But I was really impressed by it, to be honest.
You know what's kind of surprising too is a lot of these, not just for desktop, but a lot of the mobile like edit stuff on your phone has gotten so good.
Oh yeah. Well, and our even, phones like, are so powerful now, right?
Even like, I mean, I've done some edit stuff on the phone, and then like we use an app to do the like, if you guys follow us on social media or even on YouTube, you see a lot of our shorts, all the captions, we use an app to do that for like our shorts and stuff we put on TikTok and all that. And that's all like AI done. It takes like, you just like upload the video and it just like does all the, like thinking of that, like 10 years ago, it's probably like when I first started making videos.
Yeah.
Like, thinking of something like that would think be like impossible.
Well, I saw the HyperX or that Fury drive, the Kingston Fury drive, you know, the specs, you're going over the read writes, but then it also had the line of like up to 1 million IOPS on it. I remember being at EMC World in Las Vegas in like 2014, maybe, I think it was. And, you know, like going by a booth, you know, an enterprise level booth. And they were at that time, I think, you know, advertising this SAN device or storage device, enterprise level, that up to 1 million IOPS. And that's like across multiple drives with all sorts of, you know, other hardware making that functional and possible. And you're like, oh yeah, I've got it in this little drive here that I just have in my desktop or laptop now. And it's like a couple hundred bucks.
Not only is like our local machines getting more powerful. Obviously we talk about it with like the 40 series and the boost in performance and, you know, going from like two generations behind, like, you know, going from two generations back to the current generation when it comes to CPUs, the same thing. But on top of that, a lot of that work in the background is getting offloaded, right?
Right.
So a lot of this stuff is cloud-based or something like that, where all of the stuff that would like crush your, you know, used to crush your CPU or GPU is getting offloaded to some server, and that's where it's getting done. It's getting pushed back to you. So that's pretty cool that you found that. Because I was like, he did not use like Windows Movie Maker, because I remember when his like I made my first, like, you know, I don't know how old, I mean, this is forever ago, but I mean before I could afford Adobe Premiere, that's what I used, you know, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. was the Windows Movie Maker, and that might have been on like 98, Windows 98 maybe. Yeah. I don't remember.
I mean, yeah, they've had Movie Maker, and then I feel like they had a like an updated version of it for either Windows 7 or 10, and it was a little better. And I think this like clip application is available like natively in Windows 11, if I'm not mistaken. So
what's it called?
Clip something.
It's installed because I have Windows 11 on this machine.
Yeah,
I'll have to give it a.
I mean, it's got your standard like, you know, dragging clips and, you know, sizing them right and then adjusting audio, and like you can separate audio from the video by default. It's like it keeps the video and audio together, but you can separate them, which is nice. And you know, just some of the advanced stuff that you didn't used to have. That was cool.
Very, very cool. Calvin in the chat says the cloud is great until it rains. Yeah. And then he said, like his old job when AWS Japan data center had an AC outage during the summer. And that's just even like today. Like I had sent it to Ryan. Let's see if I can bring this up. But like this was somebody posted this on today. Like everything that was down today, like all of these services. And again, you don't think that it's like, oh, Twitter's down, you know, whatever's down. But it's like, you definitely notice it when these things are down. Like I was trying to post some stuff on Twitter earlier today and I couldn't. And obviously that affects like, you know, that's how we push our content out on thin computers. Same thing with Instagram. Like I posted some stories of some of the products I was unboxing today. That stuff wasn't there anymore. It got deleted because they had issues, and there's all these other issues that were going on today with the internet. So Corey in the chat asked, what's some of the best apps for phones for editing video? I know Adobe has it's called Adobe Rush. I know that's pretty good. It's pretty basic, but it will definitely get the job done if you need to do stuff. If you have an iPhone, even the iMovie works decently well for just putting some clips together and stuff. But everything is, there's probably a lot out there that I probably have never even heard of because they've gotten so good. And like these companies, you know, you think Adobe is going to be around or be the number one forever. But when it comes to a lot of that stuff, there's some companies that have some really good products out there. Even like I said, like, you know, what Ryan was even talking about. So yeah, guys, if there aren't any other questions in the chat, we're going to switch over to Twitch. So if you guys aren't familiar.
Hopefully it looks all right. My video, we'll see if it was a StreamYard thing or what. So.
It seems like a StreamYard thing because I got that little notification that my connection wasn't great.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore. But
yeah, I don't have it anymore either, but I was on there. But if you guys, we're going to be playing Apex Legends. It is the last week of the current season. And I know Ryan's been wanting to get some skins to complete his battle pass. So we're going to try to get that for him tonight. So if you guys want to do follow along, it is twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will have that stream up momentarily. That is it for this week. So we appreciate everybody that was in the live chat. Corey, Calvin, Old Man was in there. And I'm not going to try to say the other guy's name, but we definitely appreciate everybody in the live chat. And we will see everybody next week.